So we've been looking the last couple days at Romans. Romans starts off in chapter 12 with Paul saying those familiar words. I'm going to start with verse number 2, because that's where we're going to really use that as our foundation, or has been our foundation. So Romans, I guess it would help if I actually got into the book of Romans instead of John. So Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. And again, this is a very familiar verse that we see and we've read many times. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are to have our minds. We are to be not conformed to the things of this world. We're not to live like the world, and we are not to yield our thoughts and our minds and our beings. We're not to yield ourselves to the things of the world. We are not conformed to the world because we are the followers of Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. So we're not to be conformed to this world, the world which is contrary, which is the opposite of the things of the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God. We're not to be conformed to this world, but rather we are to be transformed. In other words, we are to be changed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds are to be renewed on a daily basis, and that renewal comes by the Word of God and by time spent with Him. And as our minds are renewed, so we're no longer bound to the things of the world, we're no longer living like the world, and we're no longer acting like the world. Instead of living out the world's nature, we are instead allowing the nature of Christ, which is in us. We're allowing His nature to move through us, and we operate in His nature. We choose His nature and live out His nature instead of living out the nature of the flesh and the nature of the world. With that understanding, then Paul goes on to talk to us in verses 9 through 18 about how we as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, how we are to behave. And when you read those verses, it's easy for us to hear those verses and say, oh, wow, that's asking a lot. I'm not sure I can do that. Well, the truth is you can't. Not in yourself, not in your own abilities, you cannot. But because you have the nature of Jesus Christ in you, and because you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, He would not tell us to behave a certain way if He knew that it was impossible for us to do that. And it is impossible in ourselves. But He's not left us alone. He is with us. And in the strength and the power of Jesus Christ who dwells within us, we do have the ability to live. And this then should be the standards that we have. This should be our standard of behavior. And so we've already read in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. We also learned in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And then we learned, not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then in verse 12, we learned this yesterday, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. This is the behavior that is expected out of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And because it's expected and because we have His nature within us, this is the way that we can live. And as we live our lives according to these standards, not only do you just walk in peace and walk in victory, and you have that nature of Jesus flowing through you, and then if you've got the nature of Jesus flowing with through you, all of those good things and all that favor and all the promises that come with Him flow through you and through your life as well, which benefits you in your life, bringing peace, joy, and the supernatural to your life. But it also touches and affects those who are around you and who are watching and see the nature of Christ being demonstrated through you and I consistently and on a daily basis. So let's read verse number 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We are called, we are told, we are supposed to have. See, this gets back to what we just read a few verses ago. It's tied to it, where we were told to give preference to one another. In the book of Philippians, it tells us in chapter 2 that we are to consider others better than ourselves, to make whatever sacrifices are needed, to consider, to think of others, and to do for others before we do for ourselves. We have the same kind of thought process here, where we are to consider the needs of others and to help meet the needs of others by distributing to the needs of the saints, given hospitality. In the Amplified Version, it says, then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor to never put a stumbling block. Oops, I'm sorry. I knew that didn't make any sense. Again, it would help if I got into the right chapter. Okay, chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse number 13. Contribute to the needs of God's people. Contribute to the needs. So you and I are supposed to give to God's people, to contribute. From that which God has entrusted to us, we are to give to others. We'll look at that more in a moment. Contribute to the needs of the people, sharing in the necessity of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Part of the behavior that we're supposed to have as representatives of Jesus Christ is to contribute, is to take that which God has given to us. And as I take which God has given and entrusted to me, and I distribute that or I contribute it, I give it to others as I see that they have needs. See, here's one of the principles. God gives us, and He will give us in abundance. But the Bible makes it clear, He gives so that we would have seed to consume, seed for ourselves, seed for bread, and also seed to sow. The Bible tells us God gives us seed for two purposes, to sow, to make bread, and to sow. So if we have seed which is given to us to make bread, now that means what do you do with bread? You make bread because you're going to consume it yourself. You're going to meet your need. You're going to satisfy your hunger. So God gives us seed to meet our needs. But He also gives us seed for the purpose of distributing to others. Seed for bread and seed for sowing. God has provided for you. And if I understand this principle, I will understand that all that He gives to me, the paycheck that I get on a weekly basis, and everything else that I get in my life that is given to me by God and entrusted to me, all that I have, He gives it to me, and He gives me in abundance. He will give me if I will trust Him by taking what He gives to me and dividing it. So, yes, some of what He gives to me is for me. It's to meet my needs because He's promised to meet our needs. Some of what He gives to me, it's seed for bread. It's seed for me to consume to meet my needs. But some of what He gives to every one of us is supposed to be sown. It's supposed to be distributed. It's supposed to be contributed. It's supposed to benefit others. In the world, we're taught that whatever we have is ours. And what we give up begrudgingly. The government will take it from us from our taxes and distribute it. But that's not a willing distribution. There's not one of us that said, hey, Uncle Sam, come and take 30 or whatever percentage, you know, Uncle Sam takes from us. Come and take this large percentage of what's been given to me and distribute it. We don't do that. Uncle Sam has made the decision that he will take from us a certain percentage of everything that we have. And then the government then distributes that and uses it. That's not the way that God's talking about it. That's not the way that it should be. The government should not be taking and distributing. It's supposed to be up to you and I to distribute what God has entrusted to us. Understanding that part of what He's given us is to meet our needs, but part of it is for the purpose of meeting the needs of others. Now, if I understand that and I live that way, this is the behavior that God expects out of us. And that sounds like a hard thing, but again, if you will apply this, if you will live out, and He will give you the strength to live that out, even though it defies logic, it defies the common sense of our natural minds, but it's the Word of God. So if I will take the things that God has given to me, understanding that part of it is to meet my need, and I will use it to meet my need, then I will also take a portion of that and I will give it, I will distribute it, I will contribute it to others to help them meet their needs. Now God knows that He can trust me. Now Jesus knows that He can trust me with more, and He will give me more. Oftentimes when we find that we're struggling in our life with the area of finances, we struggle in our life with finances because we are misunderstanding that which God has given us is ours. It's not, it's His. Now He gives us a portion of it because He loves us and He wants to meet our needs. But He also expects, as His child, as His follower, as His representative, that our behavior is going to be, I'm going to understand the word, and I'm going to take a portion because a portion of that was to be sown. It is to be distributed to those who have needs. He gives me to meet my need, and He gives me so that He can move through me to meet the needs of others. And as I understand that principle, and as I live that principle, He then knows He can trust me with more. and he gives you more. You will have more given to you, that you have no needs. In fact, you have an abundance. Such an abundance that you can give, this is what the word says, you can give wherever you have a heart to give. He will show you where to distribute, but he will also give you so much, such an abundance, that you can give any place that you have a desire to distribute, to give. This is a principle that he gives us. This is part of the behavior that he expects out of us. And because we don't live that behavior, we're not seeing the results in our lives. Verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the people, sharing in the necessities, pursue the practice of hospitality. If I truly believe and understand that what I have is not mine, it's his. I'm merely a steward. It belongs to Jesus Christ because I belong to him. All that I have belongs not to me, it belongs to him. But he's made me a steward over all that. He's made me a steward over my house. He's made me a steward over the cars that I drive. He's made me a steward over the money, the income that he brings to me. It's not mine, it belongs to him. He's made me a steward. And the steward is responsible for the finances, for the money, or for what's been entrusted to him. The steward is responsible for distributing that money because it's not his, to using it and distributing it the way the master intends. And that's exactly what our lives are. And the more I understand that, and the more that I live for him, the more I'm going to find out that he brings more money. He will give me stewardship over more money and more things because he knows he can trust me. I should have the heart, and this is the expectation for each one of us, I should have the heart to distribute, to have a thankful heart to know that God is giving me and providing for my needs. He's given me seed for bread to meet my needs, but he's also given me seed to sow, to meet the needs of others. And the more I do that, the more he'll entrust to me. And you're not going to have any problems with finances. I know it sounds simple. It's the word of God. It's what he says. And if I live that way, then I truly develop that heart of hospitality where I invite people into my life and into all that Jesus Christ has entrusted to me. And I'm willing to give, not just of finances, not just of things, but even to give of myself, my time, my prayers, my energy, my ministry. This is the heart of hospitality that he wants us to have. Now, verse number 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's a hard one. See, here again, this by the nature we would say, I can't do that. I've tried. I can't do that. You know, when people accuse me, when people are cruel or mean to me, when people are manipulative, when people use me, when people betray me, I can't bless them. It's hard for me not to curse them. That's what the flesh says, and that is the nature of the flesh. But again, all of these verses that Paul is sharing with us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on how we should behave as Christians, he's telling us this not because it should be hard. He's telling us this, letting us know that we have the nature of Christ already in us. So it's my choice today if I'm going to live according to the nature of Jesus that is in me, and his nature is in me, and all the good, all the joy, all the peace, all the things that Galatians tells us are the fruits of the Spirit, all of the nature of Jesus Christ, everything that is the nature of Jesus Christ that we read in the Word, that is in you. Because he is in you. So I can either choose to live according to the nature of Christ that is in me, or I can choose to live according to the nature of the flesh. It's easy for us to understand the nature of the flesh because the flesh just operates. We have to be discerning. We have to train ourselves. We have to be diligent and learn to be in tune with the Holy Spirit that is in us. For then I can choose to operate and live my life according to the nature of Christ who is in me, instead of the nature of the flesh. And then in so doing, then I can actually then, as Jesus did, I can bless those who persecute me. I can bless those who have harmed me. I can operate in forgiveness. I can demonstrate the love, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ for those who have wronged me, for those who have come against me in any way. I can accomplish those things. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse. You will say that's impossible, but I will challenge you with this. if not today, within the next couple of days, there will be an opportunity for you to be aggravated, angry, and speak ill words towards someone else because of something that either you perceive they did or that they actually did against you. You will have the opportunity to speak words, and your words will either be words of blessing or words of cursing. Here's our challenge today. When that arises, remember this. Remember these words. Because this is what is expected out of us. And if we will live according to this behavior, we'll be operating and living in the joy and the peace. If we're lacking joy and peace in our lives, in part, it's because we're not living according to this. We're living according to the flesh as opposed to the nature of Christ that is in us. Watch for those opportunities. Sometime in the next 24, 48 hours, someone's going to do something or say something. Maybe somebody will cut you off in traffic. It may not be a big thing. It may be a small thing. But the opportunity is going to be there. And then watch your words. Because the nature of the flesh is going to say, curse them. In other words, speak ill against them. Shout against them. Rage at them. Rail at them. Shake your fist at them. Honk your horn at them. That's what the flesh says. But the attitude of Christ that is in us says when they persecute you, when they harm you, when they do something against you, bless them and don't curse them. Because power of life and death is in the tongue. And the world, every single person who's in the world, listen, they are being cursed by the world. They're under the curse of the world, and they're being cursed daily by others in the world. They have nobody that is speaking blessing and words of life and blessing over them. But you and I, we represent Jesus Christ. And as we do these things, we will find, then, if I operate in the nature of Jesus Christ, I'm allowing His nature to flow through me, and it cannot help but change my mind, because for His nature to flow through me, it has to flow through my spirit, which is where He dwells. For me to operate in His nature has to flow because I choose. His nature has to operate and flow through my spirit, into and through my soul, which is my mind and my thoughts. So if His nature is flowing through me, guess what? It's changing my mind. It's renewing my mind and my thoughts. And instead of adversity, anger, despair, hopelessness, frustration, bitterness, instead I have peace, joy, love, calmness, wisdom, insight. I have the mind of Christ in my mind. That's why these verses are so valuable. They sound like they're hard, but when you realize that you can do it, not in your strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit that's in you, when you realize you can do it, and then make the determination that I'm going to live that way because I can in His strength, then you will see the benefits and walk in and live out the benefits of it in your life. And that makes it all worthwhile.